They went up the path to the house, Meg reluctant, eager to get on into the town. "Let's hurry," she begged. "Please, don't you want to find father?" "Yes," Charles Wallace said, "but not blindly. How can we help him if we don't know what we're up against? And it's obvious we've been brought here to help him, not just to find him." He walked briskly up the steps and knocked at the door. They waited. Nothing happened. Then Charles Wallace saw a bell, and this he rang. They could hear the bell buzzing in the house, and the sound of it echoed down the street. After a moment, the mother figure opened the door. All up and down the street, other doors opened, but only a crack. And eyes peered toward the three children and the woman looking fearfully out the door at them. "What do you want?" she asked. It isn't paper time yet. We've had milk time. We've had this month's Pulitzer Prize person, and I've given my decency donations regularly. All my papers are in order." "I think your little boy dropped his ball," Charles Wallace said, holding it out. The woman pushed the ball away. "Oh, no. The children in our section never drop balls. They're all perfectly trained. We haven't had an aberration for 3 years." All up and down the block, heads nodded in agreement. Charles Wallace moved closer to the woman and looked past her into the house. Behind her in the shadows, he could see the little boy, who must have been about his own age. "You can't come in," the woman said. "You haven't shown me any papers. I don't have to let you in if you haven't any papers." Charles Wallace held the ball out beyond the woman so that the little boy could see it. Quick as a flash, the boy leaped forward and grabbed the ball from Charles Wallace's hand, then darted back into the shadows. The woman went very white, opened her mouth as though to say something, then slammed the door in their faces instead. All up and down the street, doors slammed. "What are they afraid of?" Charles Wallace asked. "What's the matter with them?" "Don't you know?" Meg asked him. "Don't you know what all this is about, Charles?" "Not yet," Charles Wallace said. "Not even an inkling, and I'm trying. But I didn't get through anywhere. Not even a chink. Let's go." He stumped down the steps. After several blocks, the houses gave way to apartment buildings. At least, Meg felt sure that that was what they must be. They were fairly tall, rectangular buildings, absolutely plain, each window, each entrance, exactly like every other. Then, coming toward them down the street, was a boy about Calvin's age, riding a machine that was something like a combination of a bicycle and a motorcycle. It had the slimness and lightness of a bicycle, and yet, as the foot pedals turned, they seemed to generate an unseen source of power, so that the boy could pedal very slowly, and yet move along the street quite swiftly. As he reached each entrance, he thrust one hand into a bag he wore slung over his shoulder, pulled out a roll of papers, and tossed it into the entrance. It might have been Dennis or Sandy, or any one of hundreds of boys with a newspaper route in any one of hundreds of towns back home. And yet, as with the children playing ball and jumping rope, there was something wrong about it. The rhythm of the gesture never varied. The paper flew in identically the same arc at each doorway, landed in identically the same spot. It was impossible for anybody to throw with such consistent perfection. Calvin whistled. "I wonder if they play baseball here." As the boy saw them, he slowed down on his machine and stopped. His hand arrested as it was about to plunge into the paper bag. "What are you kids doing out on the street?" he demanded. "Only root boys are allowed out now, you know that." "No, we don't know it," Charles Wallace said. "We're strangers here. How about telling us something about this place?" "You mean you've had your entrance papers processed and everything?" the boy asked. "You must have if you're here," he answered himself. "And what are you doing here if you don't know about us?"
"You tell me," Charles Wallace said.
"Are you examiners?" the boy asked a little anxiously. "Everybody knows our city has the best central intelligence center on the planet. Our production levels are the highest. Our factories never close. Our machines never stop rolling. Added to this, we have 5 poets, 1 musician, 3 artists, and 6 sculptors, all perfectly channeled."
"What are you quoting from?" Charles Wallace asked.
"The manual, of course," the boy said. "We are the most oriented city on the planet. There has been no trouble of any kind for centuries. All Kamazots knows our record. That is why we are the capital city of Kamazots. That is why Central Intelligence is located here. That is why it makes its home here."
There was something about the way he said it that made a shiver run up and down Meg's spine. But Charles Wallace asked briskly, "Where is this central intelligence center of yours?"
"Central, central," the boy corrected.
"Just keep going and you can't miss it. You are strangers, aren't you? What are you doing here?"
"Are you supposed to ask questions?" Charles Wallace demanded severely.
The boy went white, just as the woman had.
"I humbly beg your pardon. I must continue my route now, or I will have to talk my timing into the explainer." And he shot off down the street on his machine.